meditation. Just remember to remind me to stop at about 11:50, because we may need to take group photograph. Like Suyan said, there are some of our Dhamma friends, Kayanamitta, they are leaving. Then there are new people who will come. So we can have a group photograph with them so that they can have good memory of what this retreat is all about, and we should thank them. Some of them have actually helped us a lot. They are leaving tomorrow, if I'm not wrong. So I don't know what time. What time are they leaving? After lunch, or after breakfast. That's why we had to do it today. Anyway, we would like to thank them for all of the service, help, and organization duty and all those things. Whatever wholesomeness that they have done for us. I think Michael, Sito, Joyce, are you leaving also? Tomorrow. Okay. So they have actually helped out in very, very great way, especially Michael and Sito. Not only provide transport, he have to carry all the books, everything here. Then even those heavy items that Sui An, they all need him to help carry, he was the one who brought it here. So we should thank them all. Shall we say sadhu? Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can have our Q&A. Anybody who wants to report their meditation and ask any question related to meditation and the Dhamma, you can. Or any written question. Is there any written question? Don't have. Anybody want to report their meditation? Make full use of whatever condition you have. You have to actually report so that I can help you develop the understanding of what you are doing. Then if you got any related question, even about Dhamma, meditation, or what that you are not sure, you can ask. We are even set up the condition for Dhamma to arise. Don't worry about your question. Sometimes I understand that a lot of you are still very shy. Like I always said, who is shy? The ego, which is the thought, the egoic mind, is shy, not you. Your true nature is beautiful. Each and every one of you, you got a beautiful true mind. You got a very beautiful nature that is eternally aware, that has got no delusion, that has got no defilement. But because of delusion, you fail to understand that you have another nature within. That's why you deludedly cling and grasp on to the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the fine gear form of mind, the mental aspect, thinking that it's you. This brings about another condition for me to share. This one is from the Mahayana teaching, which is very good. Living beings' delusion come from the first thought of ignorance that arises in the distant aeons past. Through that single thought of ignorance, the stirring, that's how living beings fall Then over the aeons and aeons of conditioning, the single thought has become so complex that it has taken human form and all those things. Then because of karma, it has developed into all sorts of experiences. That's why they experience all of the ups and downs of life, the realities of life. But as long as they are deluded and ignorant, living beings suffer. It's a universal truth. That's why the Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth of dukkha. He said, there is a noble truth that explains clearly to you the prevalence of dukkha, what dukkha is. And this noble truth make it very clear. If you have not developed the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted. There is no way to escape. Then the Mahayana teaching also said, the difference between the living being, the Buddhajana, and the Buddha, you know what is the difference? They use the Mandarin word, yi nian zi cha. You know the meaning? It's just a single thought. It has not arisen that single thought of ignorance. The first thought, you are actually the Buddha. That's why this five aggregate of form and mind, all this single thought of ignorance that evolve, they are not you. But because you deludedly grasp onto it, thinking that it's you. So the Mahayana got this saying, I write it on the board. The first one is about consciousness. Now that you have understood consciousness in a much clearer manner. They say consciousness created the phenomenal world. Because of consciousness, all these living beings, phenomenal world, the whole of conditioned existing world, they arise. So consciousness created the phenomenal world, and all the whatever related thing. It's just like when the world arises, you have your continents. This one is referred to the universe. So you got your solar system, planets and all things. Planets, etc. So this is the first thing. That's why the Buddha say our minds are foreign to all things and mind is chief. When mind arises, everything come to be. So the Mandarin word is more, precise and more impact. It has more impact on you. Because they say, 一切一切唯心造. Understand? Everything is created by mind. But when you say in English, everything is created by mind. You cannot understand. You think there is a creator God. But when in Mandarin, he said, the mind actually develop it, or create it. Cao. Wei xing. Cao chen de. So because of that, once the mind penetrate that, they actually go beyond form. they reach the mind, then they know it is the mind. Everything arises on the mind. Without mind, there is no knowing. Without mind, there is nothing. But when mind arises, everything comes to be. But because that form of mind deludedly grabs. Grab at what? Grabs at what? That's why they use the word knowing. Huh? You remember? The knowing. So, the Mahayana Sutta say, the knower, that's why there is no one to know. That's why sometimes they say, stay with the knowing. It's not the knowing, it's the awareness. So, the Mahayana Sutta say, the knower becomes the living being. Living being, not only human being. Living being or traveler in space and time. Because of that delusion, it cling on the five aggregates of form and mind, because the mind you think, there is a thinker behind your mind, understand? Then there is somebody there to know, understand? So you think that form and mind, the knower, becomes the living being. Then you say, as a human being, you say, I exist, understand? And because of that delusion, law of karma very powerful. Every time you die, you sure take rebirth. You cannot liberate your mind because you are trapped in thought. So that knower, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, mental five aggregate, becomes the living being. Then this living being is like a traveler in space and time. Why traveler? The 31 plane of existence, you keep on moving in and out. Then the Mahayana actually summarizes the 31 plane of existence into six rhymes. They call it the Liu Tao Lun Hui. I think it's in the appendix. What appendix is it? I think Pama Surya said no. The 31 plane. Appendix 5. Page 1. If you want to understand the difference between Mahayana, the 10 Dhamma rhyme and the 31 plane of existence that the Buddha talked about under Theravada, is actually the same, but the Mahayana expanded the thing. He included the rhymes of the enlightened beings. They call it the 10 Dhamma rhyme. Si Fa Jie. Fa is Dhamma. Jie is rhyme. So the 10 Dhamma rhyme. The first four are all the enlightened beings. You look at the chart. The first one is the rhyme of the Buddha. Four Fa Jie. Understand? Can see that? Then the next one is what? Pu Sa Fa Jie. What is Pu Sa? Bodhisattva. Rhyme of the Bodhisattva. So the first one is the rhyme of the Buddhas. All the Samasambuddha. Then the rhyme of the Bodhisattva. Then the third one is what? Conditioned enlightened one, yes. So what is conditioned enlightened? All those that become enlightened through understanding and penetrating the dependent origination, dwelling. Because if you penetrate the dependent origination, you will also understand the Four Noble Truths. But this one, there are two types. There is one type of Paccheka Buddha. They call it the silent Buddha, remember? There is one type of Paccheka Buddha. Even when Samasambuddha teaching is not around, there is no sasana. They themselves realize the dwelling, dependent origin. They don't need to have sasana, but they can still become enlightened via the dependent origination. Then there is another one. During sasana, they also awaken through the dependent origination. That one is also conditioned enlightened one. So conditioned enlightened one, they are actually Pacheka Buddhas. They are beyond the four, what they call, sound hearer rhyme. The four sound hearer rhymes are the four pairs of enlightened beings. The Sotapans, Sakadagami, Anagami, and the Arahants. So these are the Aryas, the four pairs of enlightened beings. But beyond Arya are the Pacheka Buddha. And this Pacheka Buddha can continue if they want to cultivate, to become Bodhisatta and Samasambuddha. So if the Buddha's teaching is around, they call it Yan Jiao. When the Buddha is not around, they call it Du Jiao, something like that, I forgot already. So this is how they classify. So these four rhyme, the fourth one is sound hearer, sen wen fa jie, sound hearer. Means you heard the Buddha's teaching, like during the 2500 years, they only hear. That's why through hearing, they develop the understanding and the Dhamma. Of course, they go into a second turning, contemplative, inquiry, and all those things. Then the other one is the meditation, bhavana, maya, panya, the third turning, the relaxing. So they became enlightened too. But these are the four pairs of enlightened being that you chant within the Sangha. Beyond Arahant, you can take the vow and go the Bodhisatta way. Then some, they decide finally to end fast. Then they can become Pacheka Buddha and just this. Then you heard in the book, they wrote this thing, Pacheka Buddha is silent Buddha. Understand? Silent Buddha, they tell you what? Cannot teach. You agree or not? Pacheka Buddha cannot teach. Arya also can teach. Why Pacheka Buddha cannot teach? It's not to say they cannot teach. They don't have a sasana only, understand? All the great being, Bodhisatta, Pacheka Buddha, even the Arya, they can teach to the level they understand. But they don't have a sasana, understand? Buddha sasana. They don't appear in a form of mind that become a Samasambuddha and teach with such clarity, understand? That it will stay for a while. Like Amitabha, he created a pure land. Stay very long. So these are the heavy vow. That's like 48 great vows. Very, very heavy, Amitabha. So if Amitabha can become Samasambuddha, you don't worry. Yours is nothing compared, if you take that way, compared to what he vow. So if you have those understanding, you can go this way, provided you know how to link and connect with affinity and faith and sincerity to all these great beings, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva. Because their vows are very powerful. They have become nature's law and they will take you along. They will assist you, protect you, guide you, and bless you. That's why it's not that difficult even to take the Bodhisattva way if you truly have the understanding. So don't be like scared. A lot of cultivators say, "Ayo, sainthood way enough already, is it? If I can even become Sotapan, wow, I am very contented." I mean, it's up to you. Because the individual form and mind during that time when you have the condition is up to you. But even if you go through all Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and reach Arahantship, it doesn't mean you will end. It depends on your nature, it depends on your understanding. Then at that time, many things can happen. Then a lot go the Bodhisattva way actually, but not all make it. But if you persevere, have the faith and very sincere, you will make it. It may take longer, very, very long, aeons and aeons, verse cycle. So this understanding is very important. It can help you. After the four sagely rhyme, they call the enlightened being rhyme. Then you got six more rhyme down there, isn't it? The Mahayana call this the 31 plane of existence. But they call it the sixth rhyme, Liu Dao Lun Hui. The meaning is, these are the six rhymes of rebirth existence. Understand not? So when you are subject to rebirth, you will move around this six rhyme. So for the six rhyme, the first five is the same. The first four is what? First four are the woeful state, suffering rhyme. They call it the karma dukkati. So this one is hell. Then after that, beta, or hungry ghost. Yeah lah, after that animal lah. Then demon, animal rhyme, then demon rhyme. These are the lower four, understand? The lower four. Then the fifth rhyme is manusa. What is manusa? We call manusia, human rhyme. So this one, human rhyme, the Buddha call it the happy rhyme. The sensual rhyme of happiness, karma sukati. You're supposed to be very happy, but why are you not happy? How come so many people are suffering? I know. Because they treat them as semi-god. You heard of semi-god? Semi-god means they are in between. No. Neither god nor human, but in between. Means half-god. So if they are semi-god, some of them are included under happy rhyme. That is the Mahayana's explanation. But it's no different. Because as far as all this is concerned, what the Buddha is trying to tell you is, this demon, they take birth there is mainly due to what? A lot of anger. Understand not? The evil of anger, hatred, very strong. That's why demons are very fierce. Understand not? Then animal rhyme is what? Deluded. Deluded. Ignorant. Deluded. This is the primary root that create birth there. But all this got ignorant. Then this one? Peta. A lot of greed on. That's why the three evil roots will send you down to these rhymes. Then this hell rhyme, all three also got three evil roots. So this one, you suffer like anything. But you go down there, they say you jia bi liao. You kena kao kao. A lot of suffering. And the amount of suffering, the Buddha actually described under one of the sutta. Because the king, don't know which king, Bimbisara or don't know what. Bimbisara, he want to know. So the Buddha tell him, let's say you got a criminal. You catch hold of the criminal who steal, commit robbery or rape or another thing. How you torture him? Oh, he say we got various type of torture. He say, okay, let's say the most harsh one, is it? You get your soldier, is it? Because that time got a lot of spears, That time no machine gun, no pistol, nothing. A lot of spear. Is it? You catch the prisoner, every day, you get your soldiers to spear him for don't know how long, maybe half an hour or 1 hour a day. Then let him recover in the prison. Then next day, bring out spear again. Every day you spear like that. He said that type of suffering is nothing compared to the hell people and being. You dare to go there or not? You have a choice. So this rhyme is really, really hell. Really, really hell. Even this rhyme, peta, their karmic offense because of the greed. They used to draw the Mahayana. the 31 plane, the 6,000 plane. Big stomach, small mouth. Understand? Then, got anything people offer also, cannot eat one. Cannot receive one. When they reach the mouth, it becomes a red hot, molten thing. Oh. They suffer a lot down there because of their greed. Then, animal, right, you know, ignorant. But sometimes animal, if you got good karma, people take care of you like anything, groom you, send you to, now got animal hotel, take care for you. And they dress you up, and make you so cute. These are the ones got parami, even though animal rai also got good life. So animal rai, because of delusion, sometimes they got good generosity and all those things, they are not that greedy. They got a lot of generosity. And then they end up like those animals, you see, can go with the owner on the Mercedes, on the Rolls Royce. Then they carry them to high-end restaurant and dining, fine dining. Human beings also, not many can go, but the animal can go, private jet somehow. Very good. But if you are a demon, you take care of your anger, your emotion, and so on. Because this one, the Buddha did mention, the yakas, the gandhabas, and all the various types of non-human, they are very fierce. You don't go and disturb them. You don't go and, through ignorance, simply say things. When they are, yes. Yeah, she was a chicken. She recall her past life. She was born a chicken. No, Mei Chi Kiao, one of the nun in Thailand. Then she cultivate until she can go all the rhyme, go hell rhyme, go deva plane, go everywhere. Then Mahabodhi stop her, tell her, if you do this, I will chase you out of the monastery. I won't allow you to practice here. Then at first he don't understand, Where he thought psychic very interesting. So he used the astral mind to go all this. Then he can see past life. She can see past life. Then she recall one of the life. He was a chicken. Then that life she also suffered. The husband refused to let her go and become nun. She wanted to become nun, but she suffered. Actually, she suffered a lot. But finally, she persevered and she make it. Then they believe she is an arahant. Then they build stupa, all those things for her. Then there is a memorial in the stupa where they actually built for her. Then she also wrote some books. Then lady like to read her books because they believe she is an arahant. So all this, finally she came to realize that psychic will not liberate the mind. That's why she went back to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, leading to the daily mindfulness. Then it is mentioned that she is very likely an arahant. So quite well respected too. But I leave it to you. I got no comment because different people understand things differently. But from the way it's described, you can see. You were a chicken before, but after that you can become a rahan. So not impossible. Animal rahan, then suddenly human rahan, then a rahan. You remember Angulimala? He killed so many. How many he killed? 999. And yet that life become a rahan. Major offense. But because of past parami. Then after that, the karma, he suffered. Even as an arahant, he suffered. Your people just take revenge on him. They stone him, they abuse him, they do a lot of things on him. But just imagine, he's an arahant, and he would go and do all these things. The karmic is very, very severe. So all this is because of delusion. So the sixth rhyme is... They call it the Tian Fa Jie, heavenly rhyme. Heavenly rhyme. Hmm. So the heavenly realm, this one is actually the balance of the Deva realm, six Deva realm, the 16 Brahma realm. 16 plus 6 is 22, correct? 22 plus the 4 formless realm, 26. 26 plus this 5, how many? 31. Understand? So this one consists of the Theravada Deva realm and the Brahma realm. So actually it's the same. Brahma. So the two actually is the same. But the Mahayana make it easy. He said, these are the six rhyme, which is the 31 plane. You will always go round. Then the Maya teaching also, in a way, is very good because they remind you not to be ignorant, not to fall into the suffering realm. They call it the karma dukkati. Karma is sensual realm of suffering. A lot of suffering down there. Then Master Shen Hua always quote this famous verse. He said, law of karma, yinguo. You must wake up to it, he said. You know, he said, 千万不要种错因，结错果. Because this law of karma is 种因结果. Understand not? You plant the seed, the condition will create the appropriate fruit. Understand not? You plant the causes and condition, then the fruit will arise. So 种因结果. Then he said 种善因. You know what is sun? You plant the condition of goodness, wholesomeness, virtue, it will reap the fruit of goodness, wholesomeness, and virtue. Then, 种恶因结恶果. You know what is evil? If you plant the seed of evil, condition of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. With the three evil root, you know which rhyme you go. That's why he warned you, he said, 千万, means never. 种错因结错果. Don't plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. If you are heedless, you plant the seed of what? Evil, delusion, greed, and hatred. Then you will reap the fruit of that appropriate result of what you planted. So you cannot blame anybody. Like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you must plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about that. Understand? No? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. So when you contemplate on the law of karma, then when you understand that you reap what you sow, you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of virtue, wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness and virtue and happiness. And then you won't know how to decide, isn't it? Unless you choose to be foolish. Then you go and become heedless and plant the seed of evil. Because you don't believe karma. Then you find out for yourself whether your life is happy or miserable or full of suffering and affliction. So this is to constantly remind the living being. That's why the Buddha said, the five daily contemplation, you must contemplate every day. So that you see the danger of heedlessness. You see the danger of neglecting the law of karma. Then to take care of karma, you need to train your mind to be heedful. That's why heedfulness is very important. Then only you can follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil deeds and purify the mind. Can follow? So that one is the first sharing. Second one is, turn to page 40, Han Sutta. Under part 3, meditation. This one is just to tell you where this thing is. Based on the Buddha's advice, 3.1, page 40. Do not just believe what has been spoken, but investigate into all the Dhamma or truth, as advised by the Buddha. We are constantly reflecting. We are constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into all the Dhammas to fully understand the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. So this reflection, contemplation, inquiry is the second turning. Then after you have understood to first phase of Dhamma Pariyatti, you can put into practice under the second phase, Patipatti. So the first advice, don't believe anything. Just investigate into it. Silence your mind and find out. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. Then once you have developed the three types of corresponding wisdom, born of the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, you will know how to free yourself and later share your understanding with others so that you too can also become a blessing to all. Then the next paragraph is about why thought-based cannot lead to enlightenment. As thought is response to memory, so memory is thought-based and is of the past, because what you accumulate is past experience there, good and bad. So memory is thought-based and is of the past. Hence, when you cultivate based on memory or act based on memory, which is thought and knowledge-based, you cannot possibly realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. With knowledge, which is not wisdom, you tend to be rigid in your views. So you tend to use words, interpret them according to your views and opinion. You will also have the tendency to argue with people and perceive things as right and wrong. So that is the danger of thought-based, knowledge-based. Whereas wisdom, middle way, transcend duality. They don't have the egoic mind to argue, to be right, all those things no more. So this part is useful. Then the four right effort is down there, E1. You go and read through yourself. Because under the Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha said, you have to apply the four right effort to purify your thought. First right effort is to abandon the unwholesome action, speech, and thought that has arisen. So when you see your greed has arisen, your anger has arisen, your delusion that conditioned you to grasp and cling has arisen. At the thought level, you can use effort. So first right effort is to abandon it. How to abandon? The five ways as taught by the Buddha. So you can apply them. They are stated in the notes and we have gone through. Then after that, when you are skillful, you become so mindful, then you can even apply the right effort to prevent the arising of the yet to arisen unwholesome action, speech and thought. This needs constant mindfulness or heedfulness. So that's why you need to train your mind until constantly aware or ever mindful. Otherwise, you cannot deal with defilement. So that when you are aware and mindful, because you have dealt with it, you have straightened your view, you have understood how it comes and how it stirs and how it becomes what it is, then you can just prevent it from arising. Understand now? It's just like precept. When you take precept, like normal people who don't understand, they chant, understand now? Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhi yami. Then they can read to you, I undertake the training rule not to kill, not to cause harm to fellow living beings. But they don't understand the significance of precept. They don't see the danger of violating it. Then they only chant. Where you ask them to take, they take. Then are they mindful? Are they serious? If your precept, you don't take it seriously and develop the mindfulness to actually keep it, then it's like parroting. It doesn't benefit you. Then you justify, Aiyah, once a while okay one lah. This one ends only one. Then you justify more, no? Aiyah, cockroach, very disturbing. Then after that, sometimes you forgot. You see certain thing, then you don't like that thing, no? Like rats. Oh, you try all out to go and hunt for the rat. Then you use all the various ways to kill. Then sometimes you even try to trick the guy and get it caught in. So all this, you forgot about your precept already. So when you develop mindfulness and understanding, then you are dead serious. Then Sabba Asava Sutta will be very clear to you. These are the things that you have actually make the determination to keep, no, this precept. No. When you take the precept from the monk, or from lay people, or from the triple gem, you have to be very, very serious, understand? Otherwise, it doesn't serve its purpose. It will not be like what we chant. Precept is the source of what? Happiness, true wealth, and peace. Now, all this will not come to you, understand? But if you take it seriously, then all this will come to you. Take it seriously means what? I really, really want to exercise restraint because I undertake the training rule not to do all this. So when I am mindful, I see how my emotion want to stir me and want to make me angry and say all those things. Then you can stop that. You don't have to suppress or control. You just, through understanding, this is wrong. It will make my karma very weak. It will cause me to fall. Understand? Then you remember the 31 plane of existence. The hell realm is so, what they call, the suffering is so severe, you know. You dare not even imagine how it's like when you are really there. You know what happened to Sakyamuni, you know, as a bodhisattva in one of the life. He many life was born as a prince or become the king, you know. Then there was one life, as a king, he also have to actually give order for war, all this thing. So kill a lot of people. You know. And you know where he went after that life? He went down to Avijiha. You know. Oh, serious? 60,000 years. Oh, that's how long. Then after that, when he came out, the mother passed away. The mother become a deva. You know. The mother can read mind, you know, so got psychic. You know that he came from Avijiha hell for so long. No? Then the mother talked to him, no? You still want to become king? Because he was born a prince. No? Then he also can recall, no? Because he was a bodhisattva. No? Because he got to go through the 31 plane to understand them. Understand? So he tell the mother, he said, I will never want to become a king anymore. He said, enough. Because he experienced it as a form of mind. So you know what he did? No? He pretend to be stupid. He pretend to be dumb. He pretend to like cannot do anything. Until the father don't believe. No? Keep on trying and testing. No? Then finally got no choice. Give up. Then you know what happened? He asked the caretaker, send him somewhere. I don't want to see him anymore. That's how he was able to escape, you know, from the palace. Then after that, he immediately meditated. You know. Then he became very famous. You know. Then only the father come to know that he pretend. You know. So when you know the seriousness of hell, even the bodhisattva, whatever, at all costs, he will make sure he don't become the king again. So, but human beings like to become the king, especially China, the emperor. Oh, they like, they got authority, they got power, they can have a lot of concubines. Go by thousand when I was told. So what is this? Human desire, greed, lust, and all those things. So life is for you to choose. Then when you see the danger, you will exercise restraint. That's like Sabba Asava Sutta, because you have undertaken the training rule not to do all those things. So immediately the mental intention want to stir and do that, then you exercise restraint, means you tell yourself, This is completely against the law of karma. This will bring about suffering. You cannot plant the seed of evil. You have to plant the seed of wholesomeness. And then you will cultivate wholesomeness. Then that mind will just stop. You don't have to suppress and control the anger, no need. But when you see that this is deep to suffering, you cannot do anasana. Like smoking, I give you this example, it's a bad. A lot of people want to kick habit, isn't it? You know what they did? They say, okay, I don't want to smoke already. My father was a very typical situation. He liked to smoke. Then you know what happened? Finally, somebody told him, because of your smoking is giving you problem, your health not so good or something. Then the other thing is also create a lot of what is called smoke in the house and everywhere. Then he operated a small business. So he wanted to kick the habit. No? You know what he did or not? He don't want to smoke. My elder brother was the same. Last time when he started, he don't want to smoke. One day, 2 day, 3 day, okay. No? Wow, after that, very, very strong, the addiction. The craving to smoke. But still don't want to smoke. No? Then on the 5th day or 6th day, somebody came by and offered him a cigarette. Oh, I tell you, finish. Oh, that puff, I say, was like, oh, like heaven. Then after that, he smoked more. Instead of 1 pack a day, he go on to 1.5 pack, 2 pack. Then after that, he's somewhat determined, no? Because he knows it's bad for health. No? Because he started to have cough and all those things. Then he determined, no? Then he managed to do it, but through suppression or no. Then you know what he did? He go and buy cigar. The expensive cigar, because he also want to like pamper himself. He buy cigar. So. Then we look at him. And he said, this is not cigarette. This is cigar. Cigar, healthy. He smoke cigar. My older brother was the best. Because you suppress, cannot. Because the craving is there. Not until you see the danger of it. People tell you, hey, can get throat cancer, no? Lung cancer, heart cancer. You always tell, they just say only, maybe not everyone get one. I won't get one. So they smoke. Then my brother, he got one classmate very close to him, also chain smoker like him. Then one day, at the age of 32 only, you know, suddenly he called my brother and said, my throat very serious, he said, and my lung got problem. He said, I need to go hospital. Then he tell my brother, can you accompany me? So my brother took him there. You know what happened? He visited him. He saw him deteriorate within that 3 days until he became like, you know he's going to die. Right? Yeah. And he passed away on the 4th or 5th day. You know? After that, my brother, no need to like don't want to smoke. From that day onward, he never touched a cigarette until today. He himself told us. This is why wisdom, understanding, because he saw it, his own friend that smoked a lot together with him. This one, he see himself and all. That's why he don't want to end up like that. And then he will not smoke. Then the craving all gone. Then he no more after 6 days, I'll be tahan, no more already. And that is what Dhamma is. The moment you understand through wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you cannot do. That's why you can exercise restraint. You can endure. You can do all these things. But you understand the danger of heedlessness. You understand the stupidity of doing all those things that lead to affliction and suffering. So understanding is very important. That's why you have to be serious. If you are not serious, you are like parroting the precept, understand? Then you won't go far. And you are not serious, you don't make serious aspiration and vow to go this way to motivate yourself. You don't have good kayamita that can actually help to like encourage, motivate, counsel, and together walk the path. Alone is very difficult, understand? So the Buddha also did mention, is a kayamita shape. Kayanamitas are very important. It's in fact one of the criteria to become at least a sotapan is to have good kayanamitas. That's why when I started, I don't want to set out anything. I just say we all are kayanamita. Understand not? Kayanamita means what? Dhamma friend. They walk the path of Dhamma. That support each other, counsel each other, encourage and motivate each other to walk the path. So this is the best way. Understand? There's no authority. We share understanding. Then we respect each other for what our understanding is. Then we are not here to argue, understand? To be right. So because of that, kayanamitaship become very meaningful. There's a lot of harmony. Then there's a lot of what they call understanding. Yeah. Even among our kayanamita, every time we got our annual gathering of kayanamita, it coincides with my birthday. You can see when you come all to all the Tuesday classes, they are very different from others. Not I say one, no. A lot of people tell me, you say your kayanamita very different. They don't see all the what politics and all those things. Don't have one. Everything, very willing to help, very genuine, very sincere. So these are the true kayanamitas. Understand not? Where they walk the path of Dhamma means they believe in the teaching. So that's why they keep the precept. They cannot deceive you, cheat you, and do all the funny things behind your back. Understand? If you are not clear and heedful about the teaching, then you cannot be a true kayanamita. Your kayanamita are sincere Dhamma friend who walk the path of Dhamma. Take this very seriously and cultivate. So to be a true kayanamita, you must have the understanding that you really have to follow the advice of the Buddha. That's why you do all those things that the Buddha teach you. You pay respect, you develop the puja, then you listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, develop the 10 meritorious section, then you cultivate. And through this, you know you accumulated how much merits and blessings are. Then finally, when you awaken, you accumulated wisdom. That's why your life in future, if you have to come or you choose to come, you know what is the difference? Have to come means still under training, not finished. So, then karma take you here. So, then you have to come. Choose to come means you are bodhisattva. You can choose the time, the appropriate condition, the world system, through your vow. Then you can come anytime. So, and that one don't take rebirth. That one through the pure mind, through the love and compassion, out of love and compassion for living beings. That's why you have that vow. You vow to take across all living beings, suffering beings. So that vow, because of that love and compassion, that is a mind, but it's a true mind without greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why there is no rebirth consciousness. There is no avijja anymore. But the form and mind, when they come, it needs a consciousness. So this one, the pure consciousness go in. It's not rebirth consciousness. It's through this vow that arise the pure mind, and that one go in. That's why bodhisattva can choose to come. Then every time they come, they inherit, because as you cultivate more and more understanding, more and more of the perfection, then you become different. Then you understand the nature's law very clear. Then you know how to come. If you know how to come, you know how to return. Understand not? A lot of people know how to come, don't know how to return. Because they come and get lost. And they forgot where they stay. So nowadays you got GPS, way is easier. You cannot get lost. You get lost, look for your handphone. Then he send you home. But Dhamma, when you go Holland, you don't know how to come back. Because delusion take you there. So wrong view take you there. So when you do not have the good karma, good affinity and condition, actually it's very difficult to encounter the pure Dhamma, the true Dhamma. And Mahayana teaching make it very clear. He said, to be a human being, to be born as a human being is very rare. Very difficult to even have a human body. Then even more difficult to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. 人生难得，佛法难闻。So if you have such condition, especially like now, you have been born a human being and you have the Buddha Sasana, you should actually make full use of this very rare opportunity. That's why I always tell you, this window, don't miss it. If you miss it, it's going to be a long, long haul. Because it is very rare actually. And for you to have this affinity and condition, you must have good roots in the past. That's why don't underestimate yourself. Don't ever tell yourself, why I so stupid, or why I so slow, or why I everything also don't have one. Then like Folian that night to us, he said, wow, I heard all of them, some new also, straight away can go to the silent mind, can experience it. He said, I'm a loud noise. Saliva. I said, you only need to be patient. Your time will come. Understand? As long as you are sincere, you have the faith, then just diligently cultivate. Don't try to know. Don't try to compare. Why he so fast? Why she so fast? Why I so slow? And then the he, she, and I is still there. How to be fast? Sakkaya ditti is still so strong. He know you, he know me. The form and mind cultivate. Understand? That's why when you recite just now the food recollection, you thank all those who have actually contributed their wholesomeness and generosity, who has made this food possible. And this food is for you to actually sustain this body so that it has proper help to help you develop the cultivation. That is a very important understanding. So do not be deluded by this body and go attached. You know, wow, I still very slow. He, she, the egoic mind, the personality is still very strong. Then how? Understand? That's why we put in the contemplation so that this body, to sustain the need of this body so that you can use this body, form and mind, to develop the cultivation of the Dhamma. You never say, so that my body can become healthy, so that it can help me to cultivate. And then you go, because these are tools and vehicles that you use. We are karmically conditional to live life, to experience life, and to develop whatever understanding you need. So use it with understanding. Then there are certain things that this form and mind need to sustain itself. Like the four requisites, you should appreciate, you should thank all those who offered it to you. So this is how you develop understanding. Then Sabbasavak Sutta actually very good. Go and read this orange book. This is a very good book. Okay, now we turn to maybe Hans Sutta 2. Oh no, 3 I think. Yes. Hatsuka, 2. The 10 paramita we have covered, the 6 perfection of paramita of Mahayana tradition also we covered, word of wisdom of the Buddha also we covered, Buddha's advice before Parinibbana also we covered, final summary also we covered, 7 factors of enlightenment, Satta Bhujanga, you go and read up yourself. Then 3 universal characteristics also we covered. The 5 universal order, Pancha Niyama, also we covered. So all this you must read. Then Acchambuddhadasa, the 4 aspects of Dhamma. So Acchambuddhadasa got a very good way of describing what Dhamma is. He is actually the teacher of Acchanyantra. How many of you know this monk, Acchambuddhadasa? Not Buddha Gosa, no? Buddha Dasa. Oh, very good. Quite a number. He is a very famous monk in Thailand, but he passed away quite a number of years ago. His monastery is in Suamok. Suamok, yes. Surat Thani, Suamok. Suamok, the meaning is Garden of Liberation. I went to his temple a few times. And that time I visited him, he was still alive. He's a very good monk. He is the only monk in Thailand that say the dependent origination is not a three lifetime one. He dared to write in the book. Oh. Then when I heard that, I said, yeah, this is what I realized also. It's not three lifetime one, it's immediate one. Every moment, every instant, the dependent origination, it arises, it happened. Otherwise, what for? If over three lifetime happened one time, the Buddha teach you for what? Not applicable to life. Then you cannot develop understanding. So because of that, he has the mindfulness, he saw. Then he was the only monk that can describe what that enlightenment is. But he didn't explain it. He every time give this example. He said, when you are deluded, like there is a will of ignorance. What? You know how to spell this word, huh? Will of ignorance. V-E-I-L. Yeah. You know this word, isn't it? Cover your face, huh? Like those Middle East lady, yeah? With something here, so that you see the eye only. He gave this example. No? Even I asked his disciple, the disciple cannot understand. No? I was so full of joy when I heard what he explained. No? Because what happened to me when my mundane mind collapsed, I didn't able to like get a cultivator or a monk or whatever to actually describe what they go through. No? Then the book also don't have, everything also don't have. Or this monk, Buddha Dasa, he's very good. No? He said, initially when you are not enlightened, it's like your mind is covered by a veil, obscure, obstructed. He said, you cannot see. Is it? Then he said, enlightenment is very funny, he said. Like suddenly this will of ignorance just drop off. Oh, he called it will of ignorance just drop off. Then he said, you straight away can see. Oh. Nobody understand what he said, I think. The disciples are there. But I asked the disciple, you know why your teacher say that? He said, Ajahn didn't explain. He just said the will of ignorance drop off. That's it. Oh. Actually, what he meant was the mundane mind drop off. When the mundane mind drop off, all of your condition arising mundane mind, which is the images within your aggregate of mind, the grasping, the whole thing just disappears. You know? Because when you penetrate and awaken through the direct seeing, your consciousness, your energy become very different. Because that wisdom energy is very, very different. Very fine, the vibration. And when the vibration reach that type of fine level, the mundane mind, which is too gross, cannot stay there. Understand? Then it collapses. Yeah. That's why I say, he must have done it. Otherwise, he cannot understand. So, because of that, he wrote this book. I think the Heartwood, something like that. Don't know what. The Heartwood. Then there is another book, Handbook of Mankind. I think you all have read before. He always talk about whatever that arises in this universe, anything, phenomenal or what, you cannot attach. Then he said, your mind will liberate and free. He said, He just say you cannot hold, you cannot cling, you cannot grab. Just like yesterday, Long Po. Don't even hold on to anicchang, dukkang, anatta, and emptiness, is it? Because these are Dhamma words. You have to go beyond. Champi translate as stay with the knower. Or knowing, he didn't say knower. Stay with the knowing, the one who knows. Ajahn Chah also used the word the one who knows. Actually, there is no one who knows. It's an awareness, but it's just the translation, I think. Because they understand. So when you stay with the pure mind, the true mind, the pure consciousness. That one, when it has the wisdom developed through the direct seeing, it will awaken. And the moment it awakens, this form of mind will cease. Then you can realize Nibbana. That's why he said, you stay with that one, Nibbana is sure. You stay with five aggregate of form of mind, no Nibbana, he said. Oh. So he also said, five aggregate of form of mind is actually thought. But he didn't use that word. That's why you meditate with the five aggregate of form of mind, you use thought, thought-based, you cannot. That's why the Buddha said, the five aggregate are impermanent, empty and non-self. That's why he asked the monk to chant, Rupang anicchang, Rupang anatta. So when I was in Thailand, when I heard this, wow, my nature rose. There was so much joy, you know, when I heard it. It's like I heard them before. Oh, and I know how beautiful this thing was. And I really understand them or no. When he say Rupang is impermanent, Rupang is anatta, empty and non-self, not a permanent agent. Inside really understand. That's why when I see anything through sense perception, whether seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness or what, because also maybe I'm a civil engineer. So I come to know why this building, all the thing, the structure, everything, even the plants and everything, why they are impermanent. Well, I can understand the condition behind its arising, how it become a building, how all these plants and all these things come about. We are from the seed with the appropriate condition. Then slowly, 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 it germinates and it becomes a plant. That's why all these are the conditions for it to arrive. Any of these conditions not there, it ceases to be. That's why it's impermanent. Condition arising thing follow condition, can never be permanent. That's why Rupang, this body, external form, everything is impermanent. Then every moment, every instant, the consciousness, the seeing, it understands what? That's why Rupang Anicchang, straight away, you're not deluded by it. You not only see form, you can actually see the unreality of form, because Anicchang, then you can see beyond form. That form will never have any more power to deceive you and delude you. Understand not? Then after that, Rupang Anatta, you straight away penetrate, you know, because condition arising thing is not a permanent and changing entity. That's why you cannot call this is me, this is I, therefore this can be mine. Because it is unstable, understand? It keeps on changing, it is in a state of flux. So how can you hold on to anything that is keep on changing? So when you start to develop the understanding through the meditation, when you're silent, then when you develop the understanding, your whole understanding become different. Then after that, he said, feeling, same. Vedana anicchang, vedana anatta. Then he go for the other aggregate. Sanya sankara vinyana. They are also anicchang, anatta. Then he said, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, then sabbe dhammang anatta. Means all of sankara. Sankara is the content of consciousness, means your feeling, perception, and activity of mind, mental state, everything, whatever that your mind can do. It is impermanent. They come and go. They keep on arising and passing away, arising and passing away. Then when you hold and cling and give meaning and grasp, suffering is the result. That's why all sankara lead to suffering. Then all of dhamma means the conditioned and the unconditioned. They are also empty, anatta, not self. That's why that is a very powerful wisdom. So when you have that understanding developed, your wisdom will be very penetrative. That's why that yoni sokmanasikara, the wise wisdom at the moment of sense experience, can really liberate and free you. Understand? So all this is written here, you go and read. So the four aspects of Dhamma I read to you. Ajahn Buddha Dasa say, page 6, last paragraph. First aspect, there is nature. You can understand that. There is nature. The whole of the universe existed. You can say Mother Nature. Then the second aspect is there are laws that govern nature. That's why I like his way of describing it. So the law, the Buddha already taught 5 pancha niyamas. Then the third aspect is there is a duty, right duty, that one must perform towards this law of nature. That's why it's so beautiful. Understand? Law of karma. You perform your duty, like yesterday Long Paul said, then law of karma taken care of. Understand? If you don't perform your right duty against, you go against this law of karma, you will be afflicted. You will kena kau-kau. Then, if you don't have right duty to train your mind to be heedful, because you know the dependent origination, the second right view is like that, patijasama, and you somehow don't know how to come out of it, you somehow want to allow avijja to take its course. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. So when you know that, then you need to constantly straighten your view until avijja no more. As you straighten your view, you purify your mind. To do that, you must be very mindful, heedful. That's why satipatthana, 4 foundation of mindfulness. Then the fourth aspect is like your third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You reap the fruit of your hard work after having performed those duties. Your blessings, your merits, and your understanding, that become your what they call inheritance. That's why your life become beautiful. And then the 3 evil roots. Next one, very important. What constitute the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion? Loba is greed, the Pali word, which includes all of your greed, selfishness, lust, craving, covetousness, desire, deceitfulness, and cunningness. Cunning people are very greedy. They want to take advantage. Then deceitful people also, because they want to take advantage, they want to cheat you, that's why they deceive you. Then dosa is hatred or ill will, which includes all of your hate, anger, aversion, envy, jealousy, dislike, negative emotion, like sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. Then the last one is moha. Moha, which is self-delusion or sakayaditi, that condition one's egoic mind to arise the 3 evil root of loba, dosa, and moha, leading to all the egoic personality of selfishness, fear, craving, worry, anxiety, etc. So, whatever that condition you to be selfish, emotional, these are all delusion, self-delusion, because the atta, when it's there, you tend to develop selfishness. Where you think you exist, then you want to own things, possess things. That's why you become selfish. You become greedy. Then after that, you have a lot of craving. Then emotional negativity. Then because of moha, delusion, you cannot understand, you got a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. So these are the 3 evil roots. Then the evil roots, they are the roots of all evil. If you have them in your mind or consciousness, then it will condition and cause you to become a very evil person. So it is a very very important to develop the training of mind via meditation to be always heedful, so that you can be aware of your mental intention all the time. And if there is any of these 3 evil roots, then we should arise the appropriate right effort to either abandon or prevent it from arising. Otherwise, it will condition us into negativity, leading to all the suffering. As they are also called the 3 poison, they will kill you or kill us spiritually if we allow them to stay in our heart. That's why don't keep your anger, your hatred, your fear, your emotion. You don't keep it there. They are the 3 poison. You will be killed spiritually. Means spiritually you are as if dead. That's what the Buddha meant. The heedless are as if dead. So this is what that thing is all about. And then seeing beyond form. Yesterday I shared with you, and understanding Nibbana. So this one maybe later we share this, huh? Almost 10:40 something. You got any question or not? Ah, yes. Ah, okay. Pass the mic to Sister Parmasuri.
Pratyo, actually I'm seeking some clarification. On page 6, number 4, perform the duty. That duty refers to both mundane and supramundane duty.
You are asking about the four aspect of Dhamma.
The fourth aspect.
The fourth aspect is reap the fruit of one's hard work after having performed that duty. You are asking about the fourth
duty,
one.
Yes.
No, the duty is when you use your form and mind. Understand not? You use that form and mind to do whatever. If you follow the nature's law of karma, then you do your duty. That if you follow the right view, the law of dependent origination, then you know how suffering come to be. Then you will determine to straighten your view, to develop the wisdom. Then if you follow the Four Noble Truths right view, you will determine to cultivate so that you can become enlightened. So this is the duty. When you do, then you reap the fruit, because finally you become enlightened. But I think what you want to add on is, does it include the duty of cultivating to be a Sama Sambuddha, the supramundane one? This one is no. This one is for the form and mind. Understand? But the form and mind can also cultivate the spiritual, what they call nature, the ten perfection. Then when it do that, finally, it also develop the fruition of it, because as you come as a bodhisattva and finally a sammasambuddha, that is also the fruit of the thing. But what Acchambuddha does is more concerned is the five aggregate of form and mind performing the worldly duty, mundane duty. Just like Long Paul said, this form and mind still got duty to do on itself, but there is karmic debt. He used the word debt, he never say karmic debt. Because sometimes through karma, you got certain type of karmic that haven't paid, understand? So you come, you have to do your duty to repay all this.
Can I ask?
No problem.
Page 40, just now the four right effort.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say during our meditation, you already we can see the mind moving, qi xing dong
nian. Yes.
That means this four right effort is no more applicable.
You see, the thing is like that. If you want to deal with the wrong thought at the thought level, then you use effort. Understand not? Then the effort, there are five ways. The right effort is the first two and the last. Understand not? Means you use your determination, then you use effort. But the third and fourth, the Buddha teacher, is not right effort. That one is meditation, satipatthana, mindfulness. That's why to develop wisdom, no more effort. So when you develop the understanding of qi xing dong nian, you actually develop wisdom. You don't have to apply effort anymore. You don't have to like think of the direct opposite wholesome thought to deal with the wrong thought. You don't have to think of the consequence, because you already have the wisdom. The understanding that this is conditioned rising mind, mundane mind, qi xing dong nian. So when the mind arises, activity arises, sankhara arises, these are conditioned arising state, no reality, because it's impermanent, its nature is impermanent. The moment you deludedly through self-delusion, grasp and cling, suffering will be the result. And because this condition arising is never a permanent and changing entity that you can hold on to, grasp onto and cling onto and say, this is mine, this is I, therefore this can be mine. No way. That's why with that wisdom, you don't need to do any effort. Just like exercising restraint. Because you see the danger of it, you already understood that this is not the right thing to do. And you just cannot do because you have the wisdom. Just like I told you, after I cultivate, I like to play mahjong, I remember. Then all of a sudden, one day, for no reason, no, it just stopped. Because this form of mind, really like no more meaning. No. It cannot like last time, so excited by all these, you play until next morning, ta tong siu. You cannot already. Even my classmates, they all come, no, we were very good friends, no, we like to actually have mahjong session, because we are not gamble to win money. No. Whoever win, belanja, supper. So, it's a friendly game. But when you reach that point, very funny, you know, it just stop. Then I check. When did I stop? There is no thought telling me that I'm a cultivator, I must not gamble. No such thing. Well, for me, my character is the other way around. If I want to gamble, I gamble. You cannot stop me. But because I'm very skillful, I like to develop the skill, and I test every skill. But I also experience when I cheat, I deceive, I tell a lie, my whole love game gone. That game, no matter how strong my willpower, my mind is, the card just don't come. Oh. It show it to you. That's why after that I understood, law of karma, cannot play a fool. I use the Hokkien word, bo kao lu bo siong sin. You will never violate it, because it show it to you so clearly. And later on, as you cultivate, when you connect already, immediate or no, you arise that type of thought, immediately next moment, pop, come already. Oh, cannot go against. And so many of these incidents happen. No, I didn't record, but I told my wife. My wife no one. Oh, ah yes.
When you see your mind move, any phenomena, when you see your mind move, you already aware that your mind is moving. Qi xing tong, that means your mind is moving, and then the thought is coming in. Yeah, during meditation, that means all these four effort is not applicable already.
Well, four effort is the thought. But when you have wisdom, you no need to do any effort. Because the third way is what? Silent. And whatever thought, whether it's anger, fear, or emotion, like Brother Tim went through, the anger suddenly arrives because the eerie feeling and all those things. Remember? The energy. Then, luckily, he has the understanding. Then he just silent and stay with it. And then the thing goes.
But even during daily mindfulness is also applicable.
It's the same, because when you have wisdom, four right effort no more. Four right effort is initially to purify the thought. Understand not? Because if you don't purify the thought, because this thought, you know how it come about, your habitual tendency. Like I told you in the university day, college day, you sing until it become like a part of you. Then any condition, the music or somebody talk about it, inside come out. So how? If you exercise right effort to abandon, very slow, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Don't want to think of this dirty song. Who label dirty? The thought label dirty. It is not you. Understand? Then with the wisdom you understand, it still move, because not stabilized yet, not rooted out yet. Understand? Not to say not really rooted out. You have understood it, but habitual tendency is habit, no? It will come out or no? But if you understand them for what they are, then they got no power over you, they don't disturb you. That's why after a while, it will cease on. It will cease on. It will start. Then you realize, no more arising already. Like the Buddha said, under Dhamma Nupassana, you remember? You're supposed to be mindful of the five hindrances. The first one is what? You understand when there is this, let's say, the first sensual desire, the first five hindrance. You are aware that hindrance, sensual desire, has arisen. There is sensual desire. Then when you silence your mind and continue to allow it to be, then you see it cease there. That's why the Buddha say, by being mindful, you will develop the understanding of how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Correct or not? Before the sensual desire come, there is no sensual desire. But how do you trace the origination factor? How do you know how the unarisen hindrance come to be? It's from one of your sense now. That's why you move to the next section of the category of practice, the third Dhamma category. Six internal sense bases and six external sense. It's always from your senses. That's how you know the world. That's how you communicate the world. That's how your mind creates consciousness and is content and stir. That when you're silent, you can see, you know, oh, just now I saw that guy I don't like. That's why stir, anger. Or I feel something like gratitude. There is this condition through tactile consciousness, then fear of the unknown. Fear of all this arise. So you trace the origination factor, understand not? So you come to know how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then because you just silent, no need to do anything, then it ceases to be, you know? Understand not? Because when you don't allow any thought to arise, that sensual desire, that fear, no more, understand not? Then it ceases. That's why you come to know how the arisen hindrance ceases to be. Ceases to be means what? It has no more supporting condition, understand? You no more delusion. You no more attach, cling, and hold. You no more try to deal with it, understand? Try to suppress it, control it, or do some funny thing to remove it. Understand? Who is doing the thought? And when the thought is active, you cannot understand how it comes and how it goes. And that is not wisdom. That is not the solution. So when you develop that wisdom, after that, the Buddha say what? After you know how the unarisen hindrance come to be, and how the arisen hindrance cease to be, the third one is what? You will come to know what? The non-arising of the hindrance in the future. Understand? Huh? Ah, that is where stable already, rooted away. Cannot arise already, understand? Huh? We have no more delusion. How do you arise? And this is what the Satipatthana is all about. Understand? Huh? Pass the mic.
I got one more question.
Never mind, let Joyce do first. Pass it over. Must be important. I need 2 minutes.
1 minute.
Wow.
Perhaps you remember the first trip we went to Thailand with you. I was asked by Mimi to go.
Yeah.
I remembered Mimi. I said, can drink there. And Mimi said, yeah, you can. So I went with the notion that maybe I can drink, because they're all Buddhist people. Right?
Yeah.
So it was my first trip. Drink beer. Yeah, in Thailand. Yeah.
Wine, beer, alcohol.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, at that time I was already not drinking very much anyway. But you know, you still think that holiday, for me holiday is drinking and having a good time.
Yeah.
But of course this is a spiritual trip. It was a very good question that you brought up, because it now brings back how this came about. We were in one hotel, and then Brother was walking around in this hotel. I can't remember. And Mimi and I and Tony Pua.
Yeah.
Three of us. And I was saying, hey, Mimi, very warm. Can we go and have some beer? Then Mimi said, can now. No problem. You
Tony,
ask Brother Teo.
Tony Tan.
Tony
Tan.
Tony Pua. Wow. Tony Pua, the photographer.
The photographer.
Yeah.
Tony Pua. Kwa, not Pua. Kwa. Teng Kwa will Kwa. Okay, because cannot be Tony Pua.
Oh, sorry, not
that.
Tony Kwa.
Kwa, Tony Kwa, yeah. Okay.
And Mimi said, you go and ask Brother Teo. As usual, I'm the one who will just go ahead. Say, Brother Teo, can drink? And Brother says, was very kind. Can. You know, you can go ahead and drink, no problem.
We are new kids on the block, they have to learn themselves.
And then I think Mimi said, I think, I can't remember, but I came and said, and Mimi said, hey, Brother said can drink, so you want to drink or not? And then Tony was there, then Mimi, very clever, put me on the spot. Tony drinks. I don't know. Did we drink eventually, Mimi? I don't think we did.
No, you didn't. You didn't. Finally, you didn't.
What Bertil told me was, it strikes me.
Yeah.
Why, but without knowing what I was actually in the Dharma without actually really knowing it. So when Brother Joe says that, wow, the arising of the craving for the beer was quite strong. But because nobody drink, you know. So a bit paiseh, you know. It's just like I go and ask around people drinking and say I'm an alcoholic, you know. I mean, this is the thing that was behind my head. And then I says, okay, this time, don't want to drink. Never mind. One day only. It's okay. But I think at the back of my head, I knew that this particular trip, there will be no drinking. And I think that sort of set it at the back of my head and says, Joycelyn, you just got to bear with it. There's no drinking.
It means what? She is serious about the cultivation. Even new kid on the block that time, very new. And how come it has that? Because in the past, cultivate before. That's why after that, he went to the temple with the dog on a long po ton. Yun Chan. Suddenly, cry, everything. Then want to do it.
Okay, I'll share other things later.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give back the mat to my Suri. Sorry.
Pratio, yesterday you were explaining to me about the grasping and clinging. So last night actually I don't really sleep and I give a thought.
Oh, good. You contemplate into it.
I don't know whether I'm right.
Describe it.
Both aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. Anicjang and Anatta.
Yes, very good. Very, very good. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate. Why are they impermanent? Why is it empty? The moment you penetrate and understand, then that problem ceases to be. Because when she told me, after we went to Longpo there, I said, he came to the dining area there, he said, I still got a lot of grasping and craving. Means he can still see her own mind, the thoughts. Means there is awareness. But because she trained, the awareness knew this was not right. But she was caught during that time because she couldn't connect and link to the Dhamma. To her, she thought she still have craving. That's why the first word that come out is, I still got a lot of craving and grasping. Then I say it's normal because it's not stable yet. You have not really, really rooted it out. So I say you reflect, you contemplate. I say anatta lakana, the Buddha already make it clear. The five aggregate, they are impermanent and empty. They are not you. That's why I say, if this craving and grasping, which is the thought, if they are you, if it passed away, did you die? You didn't die. Then. So if they are not you, then why you say, I still got a lot of craving and grasping? When you penetrate that, you suddenly like realize, that's why he come to know, qi xing dong nian. And what is nian? Nian is activity of mind, sankara. And what is sankara? Condition arising. That's why it's impermanent, understand? Dependent on condition, it arises. Because through the senses, understand? Either through the mind door, when you think, or when you see, or when you hear. These three doors are very powerful. So you come to know these are condition arising, empty and impermanent and not self, understand? It come and it go. You still around, understand? Then you don't need to deal with it, understand? You just stay silent and acknowledge it and understand that these are sankara. Then next time, after she contemplated the two aspects of form and mind, then you just sankara anicjang. Then that thing will slowly, slowly stabilize the understanding. Then first time, maybe after sankara anicjang, disappear that, come out again. Disappear, then come out again. Never mind, let it happen. You must stabilize that contemplative wisdom until very, very clear. And then later on you realize the next time you see the same situation when this one come out, you don't have the conditioning behind it. The thought didn't react. Ayo, I still got craving. I still got grasp. You are not deluded earlier. Then you know this asankara, conditioned arising state, impermanent, empty, non-self. Then the wisdom will tell you, no need to hold, no need to do anything. Whatever that is of the nature to arise, let it arise. It will come to be. Cease. And then you just silent and laugh. Then you know. This is how habitual tendency, conditioned mind behave. But as you straighten your view and develop more and more stability of the understanding of what the five aggregate is all about, the characteristic that Buddha talked about, impermanent, non-self, empty, you grasp and cling, suffering. So the key understanding is, if you don't deludedly grasp and cling and go and worry about it, it ceases to be. You will have no more power over you. Understand? But when you have the fear through self-delusion, then you think this is wrong. Because this is an evil root, craving and grasping. Then you want to deal with it. Understand? Then you got this unhappy thought, I still got craving and grasping. Then what happened? Because you created this duality. Understand? Then you want to do away with it. Cannot. You cannot remove it through thought. You have to remove it through wisdom, understanding. Very good. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we take photo first. So we get the... Need we go downstairs? Or here? Do it here better? Oh, I think at the entrance there also can. Yeah. We go down, Go down easier. No need, I think no need. Today, no need, Today, no need, No, you don't worry. Because that 2.5 hours of mindfulness training, you clean mindfully. So you can spend some time doing it. But the others need to go other place to meditate or contemplate. You do downstairs. Okay. Then we close the session with the respect to Triple Gem.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suvakkato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami.